my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
So today we hear the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a long gospel passage with many different events taking place within it. And all of these are important events. These are all events that we as Christians should take time to reflect upon and to break open. But this morning, I'd like to invite us to examine just one event. One of the last events, the event of Jesus on the cross. And specifically what's happening there on the cross and what is being said. So we have Jesus crucified. And we have two criminals crucified with him, right? One on his right and one on his left. And the three of these guys have a little bit of a discussion. And I think it's very easy to theologize this event, to turn it into a little morality lesson. We have a bad criminal who derides Jesus, and then we have a good criminal who has his back and only asks that Jesus remember him when he comes into his kingdom, and then seemingly Jesus replies, because you have recognized my blamelessness, and because you recognize my kingship, to you I give the gift of entry into paradise. Well, that would be a phenomenally bad read of what's happening there on the cross. In the first sense, this is not a polite little theological discussion. These three men are crucified. They are in intense pain, extreme agony. They are suffocating on the weight of their dying bodies. And it is so painful that I doubt any words could really be said at all. If there are words being spoken from the cross, they are through gritted teeth, haltingly through gasps and grunts and through cries. It would be painful to be at the foot of the cross and to witness these three men speaking, much less actually be them and speaking. This is not a pleasant event. Which is why when I listen to this part of the Passion narrative, I'm not actually drawn to that good criminal, the one who actually has a little bit of a monologue there in the middle of it. I'm actually more drawn to the bad criminal, the one who says, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The scriptures say that he's deriding Jesus, but I actually don't hear derision in his voice. I hear lament. I hear pain. I hear grief. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself, but save us. Can you not save me from this suffering? That is, in my opinion, a more realistic reaction. It might be a reaction that I would have had I been facing an excruciatingly horrible death. It's also a reaction that I've come across before. Many of you might know that before I came here to St. Mary's, I served as a chaplain in a hospital. And though there were some people who had all their affairs in order and at the end of their life were sitting with their blanket over their knees and their little rosary beads if they were Catholic and they were just all ready to go, I can't tell you how many people I came across who at the end of their life were praying to God for a cure in the midst of an incurable illness or at the end of life suffering from terminal injuries to their body. God, cure me, heal me. It was a lament, a grief that they were crying out. And it came, truly, from a deep place of faith. Faith in a God that can and does save. Now, I don't know what this criminal believed about Jesus, but I believe that he was in lament, that he was crying out sincerely, save me. And Jesus does not ignore him. So remember this tableau. You have these three men, excruciatingly hard to speak. One of them saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. And another man, also dying in extreme pain, being able to grunt out, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And their there was Jesus, right in the middle. And he replies, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It doesn't say that he turns his head to the right and talks to this guy. He just in the middle of this replies. I believe that all the way to the end, Jesus was pastoral. He was offering words of comfort, not just to this man, but to this man as well. Today you will be with me in paradise. In the midst of this intense suffering, Jesus was giving a promise. You can take it one step farther too. Not only was Jesus talking to this man and this man, he may have also been addressing the people at the foot of the cross. The Roman soldiers, the centurions, the women who were beating their breasts. And if you can imagine Jesus with his arms stretched wide on the cross, he was saying, I think to the entire world, today, you will be with me in paradise. And if you hear his words through that lens, it takes on so much more of a profound meaning. Paradise, then, is not just some otherworldly heaven. These words are not just to men at the end of their life about to die. Their words to the entire world that we, today, this very day, can experience paradise with God. In those words, today you will be with me in paradise. The core, you will be with me. If we turn that around, I will be with you. God with us, Emmanuel. From the moment of his incarnation to the point of his death, God has been with us. And because of that, we are now with him every single day. This is the promise of the cross. The promise that this very day, God is with us through every little bit of our lives. And because of that, we have paradise. Whose patience at Mass General. I believe found some paradise. When I was with them, holding their hand, offering some words of comfort, my goal was to bring Jesus Christ into that hospital room. I don't know if they found peace, but I know that they found love. And that is what Jesus Christ is, love incarnate. When Jesus promises that you will be with me and I will be with you, it's a promise of love. In this Holy Week, I will invite all of us to examine the love in our lives. It could be the love we share with a spouse, or love we have for our children, or love that we have for our parents, or love for our brothers and sisters, our friends, or love here in this St. Mary's community. The love that we experience, the love that we share, and the love that we receive, this love is that foretaste of paradise. In all those ways that we journey with others, just as Christ journeys with us every day, we are bringing into reality that promise of Christ from the cross. My prayer for all of us here is that we can cherish the love that we have. Cherish and hold it close to our hearts, because in love, there is paradise.